You're listening to After Hours Conversations with Veronica, brought to you by Veronica Lane Consulting, LLC. Episode of After Hours Conversations with Veronica, I get to introduce you to Georgie Franks. She has been in sales and leadership for over 20 years, which includes business development, territory management, cold calls, call center, knocking on doors, retail sales, and sales management. Georgie has worked with companies like Samsung, Coca-Cola, Microsoft, Barbizon Modeling, National Touring Speaker, Spokesmodel, Jared the Galleria of Jewelry, Victoria's Secret. For almost 2 years, she served as Greater Brandon Chamber of Commerce's Director of Membership. In addition, Georgie also has extensive experience as a speaker and a motivator. She is also a CBLC, Certified Breakthrough Life Coach, who specializes in consultative sales coaching. Her one-on-one coaching provides valuable insights to take business to the next stage of development and achieve real results. Her latest endeavor, Sales Tribe Live, is designed to help introverted salespeople master the sales process and deliver real results. Let's join the conversation already in progress. Much to the table. I'm just excited that I was able to meet you at one of our conferences.
Yes.
And our conversation gave me life. And I said, I need to make sure that everyone else that I know knows you and are able to benefit from the excellence that you have to provide. So I want to give you time. Please, please tell us more about you.
Okay, I'll be glad to. I am Georgie Franks with Georgie Incorporated, and we help business owners, minority-owned businesses, entrepreneurs, small businesses really increase their sales, book more appointments on their calendar, and close more deals. It's a passion that I have, and I heard Miss Veronica Lane giving me props for knocking on doors, and I always say that, you know, it started because my father is a pastor and I was learning how to knock on doors, telling people about Jesus when I was about 8 years old, knocking on doors. And some of those people will throw the door in your face, right? Just like in sales. And then there's the people who really are receptive to what you have to say and really looking at that as a parallel of being clear about why you sell and being passionate about your service and not trying to sell or market or bring to the world anything that's not real, that's not authentic.
Understood. Now, when I was younger, I didn't think of it as sales. I thought of it more of a competition. So I was in band. Yes, I played the flute. I was in marching band. And when I was in band, we would have these raffle tickets that we had to sell. Okay. With the raffle tickets, see, I had a whole lot of kids in the neighborhood. So I would come home, literally throw the bag in the door, just throw the bag in the door and then hurry up and start knocking on doors, because I knew that if I waited, that the other kids who were also in band with me were going to get the houses that I needed to get so I could sell all of my raffle tickets by the time I got home. And so it felt as though I was in some sort of a competition of being that first person out. So I was planning back then. I was putting together some sort of a strategy for myself. Am I going to turn right up the street? Or do I think some of the kids that are already right are going to be coming this way? So do I need to start here and then turn left and go up the street and start talking to people? So there was still some sort of a planning that I had to do, or at least that I felt as though that I had to do in order for me to be successful. So when you're talking to your tribe,
Mm-hmm. How do you incorporate planning into that mix? Because we have all these ideas and it just feels like it's just a pile of ideas. How do you Yes. help them put some order to that thought process?
Well, you know, part of being a successful business owner and a planner or project manager is having that foundation in that process. And I believe that for the Sales Tribe Live members, I try to create and remind them of the process of, you know, marketing, sales, business development, and making sure that they're staying true to that. So we have an agenda, you know, we cover weekly wins, we talk about challenges, and then we also cover topics that are relevant for sales professionals. So that can be clarity, that can be your calendar, that can be closing, connections, strategic alliances. And we always try to make sure we're covering an element of the process so they become more confident in sales.
You have a method then?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You got to have a method. I call it the 8 C's sales system that I created. And most of the people who follow me, they're always going to hear me talking about it, sharing it, because it is a really good way to figure out really quickly where you're struggling in your business.
Would I be taking something if I were to ask you to say what the C's were?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, yes,
even
please.
Though... Because the words are very simple. The first C is clarity. This is where we get clear on our conscious, knowing that, hey, this is a legit business that I'm passionate about, that I care about, that's deeply rooted in me. And we know you love project management, Veronica. Then clarity of your priorities, because everyone's different. And one of the tricks of just life is comparing yourself to other, but if you're clear on your priorities, you will not be fooled by somebody else's race, because you will know that in your case where you're selling tickets, all of you have the same result that you need, but you all have priorities, whereas you may say, I'm getting off the bus, I'm going to sell. The other person may have kids that they have to little sisters and brothers they had to go watch, or another one may have an elderly parent. Like, there's so many different elements to the race of selling the most tickets. And we have to know our personal priorities in order to be successful. And I can go on and on about clarity, but clarity of your message, your 30-second or your value proposition is key. Going from there, you want to also have contacts. So do you have enough people that to sell your business to, or to pitch, or that are qualified contacts for your business? So are you getting enough leads? Are you generating enough leads in your business? Then the next C is, once you get those leads, then what happens? You need to call them. You know, and some people may message them or text them or email them. But, you know, I teach calling, because that is a beautiful virtual opportunity. Calling people on the phone, right? That's social distancing. And then after that, the calendar, being able to have a productive calendar, making sure that you are time blocking. And this is where your skill set is definitely a special set of skills, because you take calendar to the next level with all of your different strategies. I love that. You helped us a bunch. And then after that, you want to have that sales conversation. I call it the care story, because that's when you show them how you're going to care for them and you find out what their real needs are. You move on to closing. And that means a lot of different things for a lot of different businesses. Then connection. So you're staying connected to that person, even if you don't. If a closing potentially can be money, but it may be just be a referral or an introduction, or, you know, a next meeting. So these are all crucial elements. And then the AFC is confidence, because you cannot sell if you do not have swagger. So that is why they call it real play and role play, because the more confident you are in your scripts and your delivery, the more successful you'll be. overall in sales.
So it comes into the heart then. You are asking us to provide our authentic selves. If this is something mm-hmm. that you're passionate about, whether yes. you knew that you were selling or not, you're always selling because they can feel your energy. They can tell that this is something that I really want. And because I care about you, I'm of course yes. going to tell you about something that I truly care about, especially if I think that it's going to help you. I love your methodology. What did you call
Thank
it?
You.
What is your
the
signature
eight,
name for it?
Eight C's.
Eight C's. Eight C's.
Yeah. So eight C's, and it's something that came to me. I feel like God gave it to me when I was driving one day because I really wanted my own methodology. You know, I wanted my own thing, and that came to me, and I've just stuck with it. I've come up with like a whole bunch of different names for it, but eight C's just really capture it. And I definitely believe that what you're saying is everyone's always selling. And I'd like to debate that topic a lot because there's a famous sales guru who says sell or be sold. Mm-hmm. And I don't agree because I feel as though when you're making authentic connections, you don't have to have an agenda of those connections, and you can kind of turn off the agenda and just be and relate. And I learned this along the way is you need to have that upfront conversation, especially in a business arrangement. What the meeting is for? Is the meeting to sell? Is the meeting to have coffee? Is it to have a one-to-one? What does that mean to the other person? Because everyone is at a different skill set. So you need to be very clear about that meeting and what that meeting is supposed to accomplish.
Absolutely. Even when you're meeting someone for the very first time and you don't even know what they do. You don't know what they do. You don't know what their background is. They might do or rather be in the same industry that you're in. You would never know in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So you made reference right. to the 32nd. What is your value proposition?
Yes.
Now, you don't think that that sells either? What do you think?
Well, if somebody asks you, what do? Then you can answer that question. You know, and if they are intrigued by your answer, then they may ask you more. But a 32nd commercial or value proposition is more of an answer to in a social setting. That's somebody saying, what do you do? Now, a lot of times someone asks you, what do? You may get offended. It's like, why are you asking me what I do? But in the business area or even in the grocery, it's going to build your confidence if you have more of a canned response to the question, right? So that's what I encourage, a more of a canned response to a common question that will introduce to anyone what you do.
So we need to practice then, and we
yes.
shouldn't be afraid of practicing, especially if it feels like it's in a safe environment, because you don't technically have a physical product that you're selling. You're
right.
introducing yourself to this newer person. I'll tell you, in project management, when we are speaking to new teams,
okay,
everything that you said is what we have to do. They don't know us from a can of paint. They have no idea whether or not we are certified, whether we're not certified, whether or not this is our very first project, whether or not we don't even want this project. We don't even want this project. We just talked at the wrong time in a meeting. And because we mm-hmm. talked at the wrong time in a meeting, fantastic. I'm so happy.
Yes.
You're the project manager. Yes, you are.
Oh my.
And because of that, now we have to be out of ourselves a little bit, know mm. that we have to be that face of this initiative. And in sales, are there times when you are only with my viewers?
Okay.
So mm-hmm. are there times when you don't want to sell whatever that product is because it's not your product? Has that ever happened in your career? Because in project management, sometimes we run projects that we can't stand, but we have to act like this is the best thing in the history of ever. Have you ever had to sell a product or service that you weren't feeling?
Yes. Or the a lot of things that I do are connected to people. And, maybe that person I didn't really have that great chemistry with, but I can see the value in their product. So I think I would answer that question by saying when you're a salesperson, you can almost sell yourself anything. You look for features and benefits that you do enjoy. And then you bring out those features and benefits when it comes to the selling part, whereas unless somebody asks you, what would you improve about the product or service, or what are the flaws or the struggles, you're really not going to answer that question, right? So you lead with your features and benefits and the parts that you can connect to. And then the parts that you don't connect with, you extract.
Like, I'm not even going to say it. I might think it, but I'm not going to say it. Almost as if we're at the restaurant and they're telling you about our current specials. And our current specials are this and this and this. And I want you to try this and this and this. And then, of course, there's someone at the table who's going to say, well, did you like it?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it.
Did you like it? And you can always tell by their response whether or not they didn't like it. Or you might actually get someone who's just honest, say, you know what? You're not even going to like it. I had to tell you that it was on the menu. So I told you that was on the menu, but this isn't what I would recommend anyone eating. I don't like it at all. And I have experienced that. I've actually had people tell me, don't eat that. Don't eat that.
Man, they're a good referral for me. They're a good referral for me. Because a lot of times it's because the person who is your waiter or waitress isn't a sales expert, you know? So they don't have the verbiage in their repertoire to be able to deal with tough questions. So you have to be able to, that's why we practice. That's why we create scripts. And that's why we role play and we practice, because you have to have a repertoire to pull from in order to overcome obstacles and issues on a team, at a restaurant. You know, when you're working the front desk, have you ever called someone at the front desk and you feel like, what are you doing? It's because they don't have a script. They don't have a process. They are winging it. And based on their sophistication, they may not be able to navigate with prowess, you know? So these are things that we do to practice in sales and communication. I'm a communication major. So that we can navigate any trial.
When did you find out that you were running projects? When did that light bulb pop on and say, oh snap, I do run projects? When did that happen?
When I met Veronica a week ago, let me stop, I'm just playing, no. No, I sold project management certifications, PMP and the PMP, I think that's called. Yes. So I was working for a call center as a call center manager, and we sold the project management. So I became familiar with some of the terminology. So that was like the first time where I really understood, okay, these project things happen and they talk about, you know, certain vernacular, but I really couldn't take the certification because I was like, this is hard stuff here. Like, whoa, I don't know if this is within, you know, my skill set, my special set of skills, because at that time, planning and organization and OCD type mannerisms were so far from ADD that I didn't understand how I could stretch myself that far, right? So then as I got older and more mature and took on more responsibilities as a leader, I started hearing people say words like the deliverables are deliverables. What is that? Or that's not within the project scope. And I'm like, the project scope. And so as I became a leader and was on boards and, you know, really took on responsibilities and worked with other people, that's when I realized, okay, there's some Google searches that I need to do. And it took me back to that first relationship with the PMP and the project management certifications. You really only have to know the overall theme or topic to sell it. To project management professionals, because they already really know what they want. You're just really building value in those key elements and the way that they're going to experience, you know, these certifications. But when I was actually in it as a leader in an organization and people kept bringing up all of these deadlines and just the verbiage of project management, and I had to go back and reassess what I was doing, that's when that's when I found out, okay, you're running projects, girlfriend. And I still think that my interaction with you helped even bring me back to it again to say, like, no, like, you are a project manager, Georgie, and you need to really look at your project management skills and look at your events and look at your clients as project management too, and making sure that you're delivering excellence. Because if you know Veronica, you know that's one of her favorite words. And I think God is putting all these people in my life with that favorite word. And so that is why I know project management now.
And you're using a lot of the words. When you were speaking about assisting your tribe and talking through what the goals were, okay, that's a word. Talking about the objectives of that particular conversation, that's a word. The fact that you created a methodology.
Yes.
That's what we do. There's always some sort of an order of operations. That's the terminology that I use. Mm-hmm. What is the order of operations? Because most people don't know that they're running projects. So you want to use terminology that they're comfortable with. It's not so much what the word is, it's right. What it means. And that's why you're able to sell anything, because it's not so much what the product is, it's what you said. What are the benefits of it?
Yes.
How will this assist someone? The exact same thing holds true for project management. Doesn't matter what the project is, you have a methodology.
Yes.
And you're going to extract all the needed information from the methodology based upon the particular situation that you're currently in. And that's why we're talking, because you're excellent and didn't know it. You didn't know all of the fantastic things that you're already doing. But I have that project management mind where I see the world through this lens. And so when I'm speaking to someone and I think to myself, they don't even know how great they are, I need to make sure that I let everyone else know. And in so doing, now you have something that you can see that, yeah, I'm actually doing this. Not only am I doing this, but I'm awesome at doing this. So my next question for you.
I'm looking around because now I'm like, and I wrote a book about it. Actually, it's called You Goal Girl, The Ultimate Guide to Achieving Your Goals. Like I went straight into infomercial because I literally did not see it that way. And you're bringing this aha moment to me that goal setting is like project deadlines, you know, because you have to have a plan of when that goal is going to be met, because it's got to be smart, you know, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely.
Time bound. Mm-hmm. All
these Yes. Okay, cool. Every time I talk to you, I feel like it is an enlightenment of, you know, and you make me proud of myself because I didn't think that I was a good planner. And now I feel more confident in my planning skills.
Because you're doing it. And when we first started talking, where I was going was that this is our life. You're selling your life. It doesn't matter what the words are or the terms that you choose to associate to what you're doing. Everyone can feel what it is.
Yeah.
Do you make people feel comfortable having conversations with you? If you do, then they are going to buy what you didn't know you were selling. And that purchase that they're willing to make is their time, because you don't ever get time back. Once it's used, it's gone. So if someone's speaking to you for 5-10 minutes, they didn't have to do that. No one's obligated.
Right.
There is what we call the opportunity cost. Everything has an opportunity cost. So while I'm doing this, it means that I'm not doing something else. There's always an exchange. I'm doing this because this is what I love to do. Literally, I'm doing this because this is what I love to do. Right. And amplifying that for those that might be saying, I don't know if this is for me. I know that there are people who are running projects, but I just don't know. I'm not sure if that is for me. But people are looking at you and they're seeing through their own lens what could potentially be possible for them. I was thinking about that when I was considering our conversation today. I thought to myself, what do people see when they see us? Have you ever been in a meeting and most of the people in said meeting look absolutely nothing like you?
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing like you. But then someone pops in and they do look like you. And you're saying, I see your brownness.
Yes.
I recognize. And we don't say anything. We just do a head nod. I see you. I see you. Do you feel as though you're also representing what's possible for other people who didn't know what you were doing was possible?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I joke when I'm going through it, you know, like I'm the spokesperson for the brown race, you know, the black race. I'm the spokesperson because so many rooms, I'm the only one. And when someone else walks in, I always, you know, try to make them feel welcomed, and just my skin allows them to. And how can I embrace my diversity? You know, when I first started my business, it was out of a necessity. I didn't know what I was doing. I was basically taking off my name tag, Georgie Inc., and essentially putting on my client's name tag and showing up as a brand ambassador for them to generate leads. So the same networking where I knew maybe some of the people, I would say, hey, I'm here for this name tag, so our conversation needs to be centered around this brand. And they'd be like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's different. Well, let me ask you some questions about that, you know, because they were intrigued, right? But then I would tell those business owners, just by me embracing you, you now have a business of diversity. Because so many of them don't realize just one showing up in the room brings diversity. And then that, because you're there, the next person is feeling more comfortable. But we have to be intentional. If anything, any advice where I'm going to take this right now is to be intentional about making it happen. And that is the biggest challenge. We have one or two, and if it's a predominantly different audience, they don't really pay attention. They don't have awareness that that happened. And they don't essentially show that they care because they don't go out of their way to that person comes back and that they bring their friends and then go find more people like that. So you have to be intentional to make it happen. As me and Veronica have talked about is sales, people do business with who they know, who they like, who they trust. And normally, in most cases, we trust and like the people who look like us. And if you're inviting your friends and your friends are opposite you, and your friends, yeah, if the friends that you have look like you, essentially whatever organization you're part of is going to look like you. So you have to be intentional. If you don't have a lot of friends that look opposite, that you are trying to intentionally find them, take a liking to them, do, you know, try to genuinely, authentically connect with them and invite them into your world.
That's the comfort zone though, right? Comfort. Most people mm-hmm. want to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Through that comfort, you're also framing what your business looks like.
Yeah.
Mm. There's nothing wrong with it. So that is one of the biggest things that I want our listeners to gain from this, is that there's nothing wrong with wanting to feel comfortable. Absolutely not. But mm-hmm. there is something not so great about causing others to feel uncomfortable. See, that's the rub. That's the difference. You can feel comfortable, just don't make other people feel uncomfortable. And most people don't even see that in public, but secret head nod that might be taking place
right
between those like energy sources.
Yeah.
You may not even know.
And they look like if them two talk to each other, it's almost like, oh, look at them. They always click together. They're secluding themselves. And it's like, there's just two of us.
It's okay. It's okay for there to be two. I have walked into trainings. Actually, I will mm-hmm. say walked into, but now that we are all in the world of virtual, I've yeah. had individuals log into my classes that have said, oh, hey girl, how you doing? And I'm like, yeah. excellent. So we are going to be talking about managing multiple projects and priorities today. We'll be getting started at da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but I see you, mm-hmm. and I want you to know what's possible. Just by our presence, I want you to know what's possible. But see, we have another layer. It's not just the mocha chocolata that mm-hmm. they see when they see us. There's also the fact that we may or may not be in spaces where there's mostly men in those spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a twofold. Yes, we're brown, but also we're women. Have you ever felt like that was a difference that you had to overcome in your career?
Yes, mainly in the sales world, because there are a lot of sales managers, consultants, leaders, directors at all levels tend to be men. So really being aggressive and disciplines and bold, can sometimes conflict with my more caring and compassionate and loving, nurturing type of sales techniques where, you know, anybody can do it. I believe in you. Come on, guys, one step at a time. Let's take a baby step today. I feel like that vibe is a lot, it's a drastic difference than some of my male colleagues, but we find a way. And I've also seen that energy. And I talk about introverted and ambiverted and extroverted people. And sometimes when I talk to my introverted friends, colleagues, they say, when an extrovert walks in the room, they can take the energy just by their mere presence. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they come in, they don't even say anything yet. And it's like,
you can feel the vibration.
Right.
As they come.
And, you know, and I feel as though sometimes that can be uneasy for someone who's in the room and it's taking so much energy just to attend. And then here comes this big, vibrant, effervescent, bubbly, sassy soul. And they're like, oh my goodness, how do I interact with this thing?
Right.
And so, you know, being self-aware, you know, I have to breathe and slowly maneuver my way to the person and help them feel comfortable as well. So not changing who you are, not, you know, disowning your authenticity, but behavioral modifications, right? So that you can better connect with the room serving. And like Veronica said, she was aware that her brownness shocks people on the little square. They're like, whoa. And so she greets them with a smile. Oh, and she has locks too, right? So, oh my goodness. That's different. Can I touch it? They can't touch it on Zoom. But anyways, that's a whole nother conversation for a
it
different
sure
day.
Is.
But these things, she is doing to make her audience feel comfortable and know that even though we're different, I still embrace your differences and love you through your differences. And I feel like that's what real salesmen, professional salesmanship is, being able to be professional, is caring, is relationship, is business development. Didn't realize that in the when I first started my business, I just thought everybody who does sales is caring and has relationship and calls people and checks on them, but that isn't the case, you know? So I had to change some of my messaging to get that across. So
how authentic are you now? Most of us go through a transformation and mm-hmm. in traditional project management, there is the thought that I don't pay you and I don't write your reviews.
Wow.
So for you to be able to do something, you have to want to do it. There has to be some spark, some inspiration that is causing you to want to show up.
Right.
That usually comes from how we show up, though. Because we're no longer receiving energy. We are now mm-hmm. the energy givers. And we
right.
give more energy when we're being our authentic selves and then
yes.
pouring that energy mm-hmm. into our teams.
Mm-hmm.
Did you recognize that that transition was taking place? That you're like, I'm not actually just taking in. In past roles, I was able to just sit back and absorb that extrovert and make mm-hmm. sure that I took from them what I needed to. But there's always a shift when we're leading.
Right.
Did you recognize the shift as it happened? Did you find yourself being even more authentic when you identified that actually they are gaining things from me, almost like you're about to be immortal, because the information
yeah.
that you're sharing with them, whatever mm-hmm. they take, they are going to use. And then if someone sees that in them and they like it and they take it,
mm-hmm.
now they're
yeah.
going to use it. I'm not saying you're a superhero,
yeah.
but
it does feel like it is a superpower, though.
Yes.
You know, if you operate in your superpower, it does help you gain confidence. Being inauthentic for me was when I was trying to cower down and, no, I don't want to be in the front. You go, you know, but no, seriously, be in the front. Like, I was called to be on stage. Like, I need to be the orator. Still I rise, phenomenal woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman. That's me. Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate, it's that we're greater beyond measure. And that is who I I'm this ball of excitement and energy. And if you're in the room with me, I'm going to ignite a fire inside of you, right? So, okay. Nice. But when I'm authentic, when I'm inauthentic, I say, no, you do it. But in my authenticity, knowing that I'm this ball of energy, I can now say, okay, Georgie, now you know you want to be in the front. So when they're going to call people up for the pictures, you're going to sit in the front, in the middle, period. Allow the other people to shine around you. It's where you want to be. Stop fronting like you don't want to be there. If someone else is sitting there, am I good with sitting on the side or even being in the back? I'm cool with that. But the real me is going to be in the middle, in the front, and probably have on the brightest color too. So, you know, these are things that are real to me. And being that I help and work with so many people with that amazing genius that they process things internally, they have such gifting. In order for me to help them and work with them, I have to be able to be quiet so that they can share and extract. And I also have to modify that room sometimes and use my assertiveness to say to someone who is out of order to say, listen, that person hasn't had a chance to speak yet. And we're not going to be doing that today. So then that person's like, thank you, because they won't interrupt you at all. So taming myself and then taming the room so this other genius can then work in their superpower of planning, whatever their superpower is, that's part of being authentic to me. I care about what they have to say.
It's a beautiful thing. And at one point, most of us received our energy from doing the thing. Our excitement came from doing the thing. Then a shift happens and our excitement is from seeing others incorporate the thing that we just taught them. And now they're elevated to that next place. So our excitement starts to come from the other people that we get to watch to bloom. And they're blooming in such a beautiful, magnificent, I have chill bumps right now, a beautiful, magnificent way that it makes us want to share as much as we possibly can, because we know that they're going to get a benefit from it. My excitement today has been sharing you with everybody else, but I want to make sure that they're able to get in contact with you though. How can they do it? What do you have coming up?
Okay. So I'm going to share my website, georgieinc.com. That's georgieinc.com. You can also go to www.confidentsalescall.com, and that's where you can schedule a 15-minute complimentary session with me. You could call me. My phone number is 813-239-4681. My phone is how I connect. So I love talking to people and connecting with them on social media. Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn are my favorite. So I look forward to hearing from you and connecting with you in igniting that sales fire inside of you as well.
I thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you all for logging in to After Hours Conversations with Veronica. I look forward to speaking with you next time. Thanks for coming.
You have been listening to After Hours Conversations with Veronica, brought to you by Veronica Lane Consulting, LLC.